glad we have a Savior that, you know, he saves us every single day, because the world, they're going to throw things at us. But if you know his son, Jesus Christ, you know him intimately, you love him, you know he will always protect you. He'll always shower you with his love. You have nothing to fear. It's like what we just sang. I am a child of God. I'm no longer a slave to fear, because we were once a slave. Because whatever the world threw at us, you know, whether it be bad news or whatever it may be, yeah, we get all shaken up, right? We get all like nervous. But we know, because we got God, you got nothing to fear. Because God's hand, his hand will never leave you. He will always be there to comfort you, to lead you, to show you the way. So why don't we go ahead? Let's start off with a word of prayer. Let's come before our Father God. Father in heaven, we just want to thank you, Lord, for this time. And Father God, we just pray that truly your holy presence will fill this entire place. As we know, our hearts, our minds, our souls, our spirits belong to you. I just pray you will have your way in this time. Speak to us, Father, as your Holy Spirit comes and give us guidance and give us direction. Father, we truly want to do things your way. So, Father, I just pray you will take over this time, as this time is fully surrendered to you. Lord God, we love you and we praise you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone says, amen. Praise God. Praise God. So we're continuing our sermon message series called, what is it called, guys? Power, right? And part four of this series, we're going to be talking about the believer's awesome power to what? To change the world. Let me ask you guys something. How many of you watched the final episode of America's Got Talent last week? Anybody? Okay, you did. All right. Some of us did, right? And all right, praise God. So if you did, you will know that a young man by the name of Cody Lee, right, had won the contest and had taken home the prize of $1 million. Wow. And what makes this win so special is the fact that Cody, he's blind and he's autistic, right? But yet he has such an awesome passion and talent, or actually it's a gift, right? A gift from the Lord for music. And so much so that America had taken notice of this and gave Cody the win. And we know, right, he received millions upon millions of votes, you know, from people all over the nation. And, you know, many celebrities had chimed in about how they felt about him. You know, Oprah Winfrey remarked, wow, I love the moment so much. I stood up and I cheered in my living room. This is Oprah Winfrey, right? But I like what Terry Crews says. And Terry Crews, he's the host of AGT, America's Got Talent. And I know he's a believer, right? This is what he says. He says, this child of God is a prodigy. Autism and blindness can't erase the smile from the face of Cody. Cody has given hope, power, and happiness to those who feel marginalized because of who they are. And he says, erase the dis, which is spelled D-I-S, right? Erase the dis and highlight the ability. Wow, I like his comment. And you guys also probably know that one of the judges, Gabrielle Union, right? She gave Cody the golden buzzer in the audition and sent him straight to the finals. And I want you to watch this video clip of Gabrielle Union talking about this. Benson, could you go ahead and play that, please?
After giving Cody the golden buzzer, my golden buzzer, and from the second I heard his story, I was transfixed. I wanted to know more. I was so drawn in by the family, by his mother, Tina, by their bond, by his challenges, and to know that music was his way to cope and his therapy, I couldn't wait to see, you know, what he was going to perform. So when, you know, the piano was out there, I really wasn't sure what was going to happen. He sat down, hit the first notes. I was like, ooh, Donny Hathaway, this is okay. Is Cody going there? And he opened his mouth and he slayed. People have attempted this on numerous shows, on numerous stages. I've never seen anyone nail it in the way that Cody did. There was no way he was not getting my golden buzzer. I cried during the whole performance. I've been saving my golden buzzer for just this moment. I wanted an act, I wanted a performer that was gonna change the world. Not just get a lot of likes, but truly change the world. And I believe that my Golden Buzzer act, Cody, is that act, that performer, that once-in-a-lifetime performer that not just leaves a stamp on the world, but truly changes it. I'm so happy that Cody came into all of our lives. You know, at the end, you know, he was like, we were like, what do you want to say, Cody? And he said, congratulations. And everyone's kind of like, huh? But Cody was right. He congratulated us because we just got the biggest gift of the day. We got him. So yeah, congratulations, world. We've got Cody. You know, I think what's important and great about the show is that it's truly inclusive. On America's Got Talent, we truly have acts that represent the world. If you are a citizen of the world, you want to see yourself reflected. And that also includes being on the autism spectrum. So what Cody just did is show the world all the capabilities, all the richness, all the fullness of the lives that you can live, and how families can truly come together, surround a talent and a special guy like Cody, and uplift and inspire the world. And I hope that Cody's performance and the family solidarity and the family really rallying around him shows the world what you can actually achieve when you stick together.
I'm a new judge this season, and I'm also a new mom this year. And congratulations. It's the toughest job I've ever had and the most rewarding job I've ever had. You just want to give your kids the moon, the stars, and the rainbows. And tonight, I'm gonna give you something special.
Thank you so much, Gabrielle. That means so much to me.
Thank you, Gabrielle. You have made Cody's dreams come true.
Hey, YouTube, thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe for more talent.
Wow. And I don't know, every time I watch it, you know, especially when she pressed that golden buzzer, I still cry. I don't know what it is. You know, I'm still touched by that. But, you know, the fact is the key words that she used changed the world. Can you imagine, you know, when you look at Cody, you kind of think, you know, the world may look at him and go, how can he change the world? And we realize as a child of God, and I want you to know, he's a Christian, by the way. His parents are Christians too. Yes, as children of God, we can change the world, because especially we know for a fact that what we have that we know is a gift from God can truly touch many hearts, because really it's God in us that can really change the world. And I want you to watch this next video clip. It's of Cody and his mom, and they're in an interview, and this is where they kind of attribute the fact that, yeah, it's not Cody. Okay, Benson, could you go ahead and play that, please?
Inspired millions with his performance on America's Got Talent. Here to tell us all about the experience so far, Cody Lee and his mom, Tina. Cody, have you gotten used to all that love and all the applause?
Yeah. Heck yeah.
Tina, he's built for this. He's meant for this. Yeah. At what age did you know this was going to be his future?
Age 2.
Really?
Yeah.
What was the first song he was singing?
Well, actually, Dad played Mary Had a Little Lamb, and he was laying on his back, and he just reached over, and he went, Mary Had a Little Lamb, and we both went, oh, and then we started doing like little other little tunes, yeah. And then he continued to follow.
Like singing it?
No, he just played. He did sing.
On the piano?
On the piano. It was like a baby piano.
Cody?
Though. Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
How did you know how to do that?
It's so good.
We still want the answer to that.
It's God. That's
exactly.
The answer.
That oh is the gosh. Answer.
Yeah.
Good answer.
Sometimes when
good
you
answer.
Because you're blind,
wow.
And you have autism, right? So sometimes when you can't, when God takes away one of your senses, he gives you an extra boost, right?
Absolutely.
And we realize that's what God can do, you know, because when we realize that God can gift us like this, we don't look upon the fact that, oh yeah, I'm so good at this, and because I've done so much and I put so much hard work. Yeah, you may have, but it is a gift from God. Amen? Because you are his child, he will gift you with abilities, with certain gifts that the world is going to stand in wonder going, wow, what happened to you? You know, and you got to give glory to God. And, you know, on Cody's website, I like what he said. He says his goal is to change the world. That's what he says, through music, awareness, and love. And I think he's really talking about the love of God. And that's what we need to do. We need to tell the world about God's most awesome love and the fact that he loves us so much and he cares about us. And we got to live our lives fully devoted to him. So here's a question. Look in your notes. It says, how can we as believers have the power to change the world? Well, look at number one here. It says, all it takes is one believer's power to change the world with what? Wisdom from God. You need wisdom from God, because if you think you can show to the world who God is and that truly you're the one that with all this knowledge can bring forth the masses, you know, of the world to know Christ, I'm going to tell you, you're not going to succeed, because you realize it's the wisdom that God gives you to do great and mighty things. And in Luke 21, Jesus tells his disciples that many people will hate them and will persecute them because of what they believe about him and the scriptures. But this is what Jesus tells them. Let's look at what it says here in Luke 21, 14 to 15. I want you to read this with me. Ready? Go. But make up your mind not to worry beforehand how you will defend yourselves. For Jesus, this is what he says. I will what? Give you words and wisdom that none of your adversaries will be able to resist or contradict. Oh, just think about what we just read here. When we have this kind of dependence on the Lord for his wisdom upon every area of our lives, guess what? We will know what God will want us to do and what he wants us to say when we find ourselves, you know, stuck in very bad situations. A lot of times people, they're going to say, why you believe in your God? Don't talk about your God. Guess what? When you're depending on God, it tells us, Jesus tells his disciples, I will give you the words. Your adversaries, they won't be able to contradict you, because guess what? The wisdom that you have to say what you need to say isn't so much from you. It's from the Holy Spirit. Amen? It's from God that will give you what to say. And so, you know what? We don't need to fear, because a lot of times I hear people say, Pastor Ben, I don't know if I can go out and give my testimony and give witness to, you know, the gospel of Christ, because I don't know what to say. What if I say the wrong thing? Well, if you depend on God for his wisdom, you're not going to have any fear. Amen? Because like Jesus told his disciples, I will give you the words. I will show you what to say. And that's why when we can have this wisdom from God, wow, you're going to be so filled with so much boldness. You're going to have courage to speak forth the word of God. You know, in the book of 2 Samuel, we learn about this woman who is not identified, but she is simply referred to as a wise woman. Okay, that's all. I mean, how would you like to be just called a wise man or the wise woman? Yeah, I wouldn't mind that, but she's not identified. There's no name. Well, let me tell you what happened, and we'll get into the scripture. You see, when David became king of Israel, there were many people in the kingdom that disliked him, and they were rebelling against him, you know, the fact that he was on the throne. And I got to tell you, it's kind of like what we're going through today with our president, you know. I just want to say, right? But there was one rebel that was causing a lot of trouble, and his name was Sheba. And he was leading a revolt against King David. So David told his commander of his army, his name is Joab, which happens to be his nephew also, okay? And he told Joab, go after this guy Sheba, because he's causing a lot of problems, okay? So Sheba tries to flee for his life, but Joab and his army discover where he is and finds him in this town called Abel Beth Maacah, okay? You guys following so far? Okay, this is what it says in 2 Samuel 20, 14 to 22. Okay, you can just follow along. I'm going to read it. It says, meanwhile, Sheba traveled through all the tribes of Israel and eventually came to the town of Abel Beth Maacah. And all the members of his own clan, the Bichrites, assembled for battle and followed him into the town. When Joab's forces arrived, they attacked Abel Beth Maacah. They built a siege ramp against the town's fortifications and began battering down the wall. Okay, this is where the wise woman comes in now. You see it? Verse 16, but a wise woman in the town called out to Joab, listen to me, Joab, come over here so I can talk to you. As he approached, the woman asked, are you Joab? I am, he replied. So she said, listen carefully to your servant. I'm listening, he said. Then she continued, there used to be a saying, if you want to settle an argument, ask advice at the town of Abel. I am one who is peace-loving and faithful in Israel, but you are destroying an important town in Israel. Why do you want to devour what belongs to the Lord? And Job replied, believe me, I don't want to devour or destroy your town. That's not my purpose. All I want is a man named Sheba, son of Bichri, from the hill country of Ephraim, who has revolted against King David. If you hand over this one man to me, I will leave the town in peace. All right, the woman replied, we will throw his head over the wall to you. Okay, can you imagine that? It says, verse 22, then the woman went to all the people with her wise advice, and they cut off Sheba's head and threw it over to Joab. Can you imagine that, right? So he blew the ram's horn and called his troops back from the attack. They all returned to their homes, and Joab returned to the king at Jerusalem. You know, after reading this, right, first of all, you realize that this wise woman's wisdom was not her own, but from God. That's what I felt, you know. You kind of sense that she had a deep sense of intimacy and love for God, as if God was giving her the words to say. Well, first of all, you got to realize that Joab's army was already battering down the wall of a city. So she had to do something quick. I mean, you know, they were ready to attack. And if they had broken through, there would have been a lot of bloodshed. And thousands of people in the city, including the wise woman, right, would have lost their lives. I mean, they had to do something quick, right? So what does this woman say to Joab? Well, let me read it to you, what it says in verse 18 again. She says, there used to be a saying, if you wanted to settle an argument, sounds like almost like a motherly kind of advice, right? You want to settle an argument, ask advice at the town of Abel. I am one who is peace-loving and faithful in Israel, but if you are destroying an important town, why do you want to devour what belongs to the Lord? So what does she do? She immediately makes an appeal to his emotions, right? She's saying she is one who is peaceful, loving, and kind, and points out the fact that, hey, we both believe in the same God, right? And ask him, so why are you trying to destroy a town that belongs to God? And I gotta tell you, that sounds like a lot of wisdom there. And it's true, right? When you think about this, sometimes when two or more Christians are going against each other, they're in a fight, they're in an argument, the Holy Spirit may be saying to them, hey, you guys are on the same side. You're supposed to be brothers and sisters of Christ, right? And as my dad used to say to me and my brother when we were young, right, when we would fight, hey, you guys are Ohana, right? Stop your fighting, right? And so this is what she was kind of saying to Joab. And suddenly, what happened? Joab's heart was touched. And he tells her that is not his intention, that he only wants this guy Sheba, because he's causing so much trouble, right? And he tells her if they hand him over, you know, to them, they will stop and they will leave. And I know the next part is kind of gruesome, right? She acted very quickly, though. She needed to do something very quickly and told the townspeople, let's cut off Sheba's head. Throw it over the wall. Can you just picture? Don't picture that, okay? But throw it over the wall to Joab and his army. And guess what happened? When David and his army saw this, right, they immediately say, okay, let's go. Let's dig out already, right? Because I'm sure when Joab and his army saw Sheba's head, they probably thought immediately, right, these people, you know what, they're serious. They want peace. Why are we doing this? Let's just go, right? And so that's what the scripture says. They just said, okay, let's just leave now, right? And I got to tell you something. That's what God's wisdom will sometimes do for you and for me. God's wisdom will give us quick solutions to our problems if you follow it. And I know we wouldn't be wanting to cut off someone's head, but that's not the point, right? Because you may ask, who will do something like that? Well, certainly not us. I hope you wouldn't do something like that, right? But I want you to understand, God may ask us in certain situations in our lives, what are you really willing to do? Let's say for an example, what are you really willing, wanting to do to give up your addictions? Or God may ask us, what are you willing to do to save your marriage? Because your marriage is in trouble. And you know what? Sometimes when the wisdom of God comes upon us, we know we got to act quick. We got to say, Lord, I'm going to do what you say. I'm going to do whatever it takes to make sure that I'm not going to continue in this big problem that I have. I want to give this illustration to you that it might give you a better understanding. You guys know who Henry Ford is, right? He's an automaker. He was the one who invented the car, the automobile, right? And so he asks this electrical genius, his name is Charles Steinmetz, to build the generators for his factory. So one day, the generators, right, just completely stopped working. And the repairmen, they couldn't find what the problem was. You know, they kind of looked through it, go, we don't know what's wrong with it. So Ford, he called back Steinmetz, right? And he came to the factory and he tinkered with the machines for a few hours and then he threw the switch and you know the generators just started to whir back to life. It just started to make noise and it whirred back to life. And you know, the thing is, Ford, he then got a bill from Steinmetz. It was for $10,000. And you know, Ford, he was kind of known as a tightwad, right? And so he was totally confused and he said, what's up with this $10,000 bill? And so he inquired to Steinmetz why the bill was so high. You know what Steinmetz's reply was? He says, for tinkering with the generators, $10. For knowing where to tinker, that cost $9,990. And Ford, what'd he do? He paid the bill, right? Well, what can we learn from this? Well, I want you to understand, with wisdom from man, yeah, it may be just a tinkering with your mind, because when you go to people, right, not to say we shouldn't, but when they're just giving you advice purely from their own minds, yeah, it may be worth $10, right? But with wisdom from God, you know, when you know what the Word of God says and he's telling you, go ahead and do what I'm showing to you as my truth, that very thing that can make things better for your life. We know his word can truly fix what may be broken in our lives. And guess what? He knows exactly where. You know, you must use his word to make the situation better when you decide, you know what, I'm going to follow what his word tells me to do. And guess what? It's worth more than $10,000, right? But you know what? It's priceless. Because, you know, when you seek after God's wisdom, he'll be more than happy to give it to you. And it's free because you are his child. I want you to understand, when you use the wisdom of God often in your life, you're always going to his word. You're always asking the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we have the power to change the world because it's not our own wisdom. It's the very wisdom of God. I want you to read with me what it says here in James 1:5. Read it with me. Ready? Go. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should what? Ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault. And guess what? It will be given to you. So when you are in a situation in your life, you just say, I don't know what to do. You know, you can come to me. You can come to John Lee. You can come to one of the leaders of the church. You know, but the fact is, go to the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, you can come to us. I'm going to seek the Holy Spirit. But you know what? You have direct access to the Father. Amen? You can come to us. We will help you. We'll guide you. But you know what? Go to Papa God. Go to the Holy Spirit and ask him for his wisdom, and he will give it to you. But it's important. When he gives it to you, you got to do it. You got to follow what he says, and you got to humble yourself. Because a lot of times, following the Word of God requires a lot of humility. Because you don't got humility, you're still going to say, but hey, I know better. I think my way better. And you'll never experience the blessings that God wants for you if you still want to do it your way. I want you to look at point number two now. It says, all it takes is one believer's power to change the world by what? Encouraging other believers. Let me ask you something. Do you know a person in your life that is constantly encouraging others? I mean, you know, he's so positive, right? He always concerned about others and he's always upbeat, even though it seems like everything is falling apart, right, around him. He's still full of hope. He's still like saying, no, let's continue to trust God. Let's continue to believe that God is going to bring his goodness in this. I mean, that's the kind of people you want to hang around with, right? And just imagine that if you were that Sunday school teacher that stuck with this little boy in Sunday school, right? And he had a learning disability, and let's say he had behavioral problems, and you helped him to learn and memorize the scriptures, and he grew up loving Jesus. And he became, let's say, the next Billy Graham. Wow, just imagine. Everyone else gave up on this child, but you were willing to be patient, willing to be kind. I mean, these are the kinds of things that can happen when we are willing to encourage other people. And you know, the Apostle Paul, he had such a person. I want you to look what it says here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 12 to 18. I'm going to read it. You can just follow along. It says here, Paul says, right, he says, that is why I am suffering here in prison, but I am not ashamed of it, for I know the one in whom I trust. And I'm sure that he's able to guard what I've entrusted to him until the day of his return. And Paul says, hold on to the pattern of wholesome teaching you have learned from me, a pattern shaped by the faith and love that you have in Christ Jesus. Through the power of the Holy Spirit who lives within us, carefully guard the precious truth that has been entrusted to you. And listen to what he says in verse 15. As you know, everyone from the province of Asia has deserted me. Even Phygellus and Hermogenes, I mean, they were the ones that always backed him up. And now they're kind of like saying, okay, we don't want to support you anymore. We don't believe in you anymore. Can you imagine that, right? And verse 16, it says, however, may the Lord show special kindness to Onesiphorus and all his family because he often visited and what? Encouraged me. He was never ashamed of me because I was in chains. When he came to Rome, he searched everywhere until he found me. And he says, may the Lord show him special kindness on the day of Christ's return. And you know very well how helpful he was in Ephesus. Wow, just imagine if he never had this one guy, right, that encouraged him, say, you know what, I believe in you. You know, keep going. Can you think of someone who was like that to you? I mean, I can think of several people. I mean, I could have just dropped out, yeah, even the ministry or even giving up our business, Heaven's Helpers. I mean, but there are people that say, no, you know, keep praying, keep trusting. God is going to bless you. You got to hold on to God, you know. God will be there. He will give you what you need to be successful. I mean, these are things that me and John Lee heard that said, okay, let's keep trusting. And we kept on going forward. And God blessed. And that's why we need to be an encourager like that too. You know, there's this pastor, his name is Dr. Howard Hendricks, and he said this in one of his sermons. He said that every disciple needs three types of relationships in his life. He says he needs a Paul who can mentor him and challenge him. He needs a Barnabas who can come alongside him and encourage him. And he also needs a Timothy, someone that he can pour his life into. So do you have a Paul, a Barnabas, or a Timothy? Because if you do, these are the kind of relationships we need. Someone to mentor you like Paul, someone that will encourage you like Barnabas, and someone that you can pour your life into and help, right, like Timothy. You know, I was reading about a pastor. His name is Mark, and it's kind of funny because on his desk, right, he has a tie and a pair of suspenders that are encased, you know, in this glass and wooden case, right? And so it's on his desk. And so everybody come in and go, hey, what is that? Why do you have a tie, you know, and a suspender in a glass box? And he said, you know, to them, he says, these are mementos that belong to his academic advisor, who was also his mentor and friend from his days in seminary. And it was the late Dr. Gary McGee. And he says about halfway through his program, right, Mark says that, you know, he stood in Dr. McGee's office and he was tired, he was burnt out, and he was just totally in tears, right? And he told Dr. McGee, you know what, I just can't do this anymore. This is just too hard. I can't do this anymore. And you know, the doctor, Dr. McGee, right, he smiled and gently reaffirmed him. He said to him, Mark, you can and you will. And he says, right, if it not had been for his encouragement and reassurance, he would never have graduated. And he says this, you know, and he says that this is the same word of encouragement that Jesus gives to us every day. You can and you will. Because he encourages, he wants us to succeed. So many times we want to give up. But when we can encourage others like this, yeah, we can change the world. And I got to tell you, I remember, you know, at my mom's funeral, I shared how my mom said these very same words to me. You know, after I graduated college, I was worried I wouldn't find a job. And she said to me, Ben, you can and you will. But she also added these words, Jesus will help you. And she said this in all in Chinese, you know. But the fact is, that spurred me on. And we know we can help someone to get back on track, to get back on the saddle and say, okay, I'm going to keep on going, right? Because it's so easy to say, I give up. And look what it says here in Hebrews 10:25. Won't you read it with me? Ready? Go. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do. But what? Encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. Do you believe that? His return is near? Well, we know, right? The devil is working extra hard. Because he also knows, we don't know when the day or hour when Jesus is coming back, but seems like all the signs are there, right? It's just like, wow, you kind of almost deep in your spirit, you know he's coming back very soon. We don't know when the day or hour is, but it's something I believe God will show to us as believers, as children of God. Yeah, it's coming close. It's coming close. And we got to be there to encourage one another because the devil, he's going to work super hard. You can say he's going to work overtime, right, to do this because if Jesus is coming back soon, especially, right? So what we got to do is we got to encourage one another. We got to pray for each other that we're going to see to it that the devil will not try to snatch us away. Not that he can, but the fact is we got to strengthen each other with the word of God. Amen? With prayer and fasting and seeking God with your whole heart. Because I'm going to tell you, no one likes a Debbie Downer, right? Someone who only talks negative, who always says things that discourages you. And, you know, there's this old story about a pastor leaving a church. And, you know, at his farewell dinner, he tried to encourage one of the core members. He said to her, she said, don't be so sad. The next pastor might be better than me. And you know what her response was? She replied, that's what they said the last time, but it only keeps getting worse. Okay, that's not one thing you want to say, right, to a pastor. Or, you know, the thing is, though, right, well, I don't know if she meant it as a joke or whatever, but the fact is, you know, we say things to edify, not bring people down. Amen? We say things that we want to say, God, I hope that everything will go well. The next church you're going to be at, I'm sure you're going to bless many other people, right? I mean, those are things we want to say, right? Not that you're going to lie, right? But you speak, you know, what you know is from your heart, what God would want you to say. I want you to look at point number three now. It says, all it takes is one believer's power to change the world by what? Sharing the gospel of Christ. And this is key. If you say you believe in God, you believe in Jesus Christ, I mean, come on. You should be talking about the goodness of God. You should be talking about the fact that Jesus loves the world, that Jesus loves you. I mean, think about this. When was the last time you said that to an unbeliever? When was the last time you said, you know what, God loves you? Because, yeah, we can say it to each other, but we already know God. We love God already. You should be telling unbelievers, God loves you. And just make it a point, even if it's just once a week. Maybe that's a goal, right? And then maybe, you know, eventually be once a day, and then, you know, whatever, you know, to kind of help you get motivated, because that's what God has called us to do. And every believer must understand the great impact of our testimony to the world about what Jesus, what he did for you and for me, because he suffered and he died on that cross for the sake of us being set free from the bondages of sin. And if we won't do it, who will? Yeah, an unbeliever will talk about God and say, oh, God is love and he loves. No, they're not going to do that. We're called to do that. And, you know, in the book of Acts, you know, Paul and Silas, they were met with so much opposition when they preached the gospel, when they talked about the goodness of God, when they talked about what Jesus did to sacrifice for our sins. But you know what? They never stopped them. Yeah, they were met with great opposition, but they were on a mission, and they were going to fulfill that mission. I want you to look what it says here in Acts 17, 2-8. It says here, then Paul, as his custom was, went into them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the scriptures. And these are the other Jewish people who don't believe in Jesus, right? So they were explaining and demonstrating that Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, and saying, this Jesus whom I preach to you is the Christ. Wow, such boldness, right? And some of them were persuaded, and a great multitude of the devout Greeks and not a few of the leading women joined Paul and Silas. But the Jews who were not persuaded, what happened? They became envious and took some of the evil men from the marketplace and gathering a mob, set all the city in an uproar and attacked the house of Jason and sought to bring them out to the people. But when they did not find them, they dragged Jason and some brethren to the rulers of the city, crying out, these who have turned the world, what? Upside down, have come here too. And Jason had harbored them, and these are all acting contrary to the decrees of Caesar, saying there is another king, Jesus, right? And they troubled the crowd and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. You know, I got to tell you, it's kind of funny, right? That the world may see Christians, that we are the ones that's turning the world upside down, right? But in reality, you think about it, we are trying to turn it right side up with the gospel of Christ. Because when God looks upon the world, he sees that evil is rampant. And when we bring the word of God, we're not trying to turn the world upside down. We're trying to turn it right side up according to what God wants to see, right? Because if everyone were to just say, you know what, we're not going to listen to the word of God, we're just going to do whatever we want, oh, there's just going to be greater and greater chaos. Because when there is the word of God that is so vibrant in a community, wow, I want to tell you, there is such order, there is such peace. It's when people start to want to do things their own way, that's when chaos will start to happen. And it's really sad to know that most unbelievers, right, they believe that we live in a world that is truly evil and it's only getting worse. If you ask someone who is an unbeliever, yeah, they will tell you. They see it, you know, mass shootings and all this crazy stuff, right? But they believe, right, only man has the answers. They will depend on man to come up with their own solutions to the problems instead of turning to God for answers. And sometimes, yeah, they may say, we need more gun control, we need more this. Yeah, we may need that. But why don't we go to God in his wisdom for answers? Amen? Because if we do, I mean, it's going to be long-lasting. Okay? I really believe God's answers will give us what we need as solutions that are lasting. And so the question remains, can we as Christians really have the power to change the world that we live in? Well, the answer to that is yes. As long as we remember that the power comes from only who? Comes from God. It's not the power within you that is yourself, right? That is from your flesh. No, it is from the Holy Spirit of God. It is God that will give you power, yes, to change the world. You know, I got to tell you, there was once this little boy. He was walking along the beach, and all of a sudden, he came upon thousands of starfish that had washed up on the beach. And the tide was going out, and for some strange reason, the starfish, you know, they ended up stuck on the beach. And they were all doomed because they couldn't survive. There's no way they could survive being out in the water in the hot sun until the next high tide. And they were going to be kind of like roasted, right? So the little boy realized this and frantically started what? Picking up, you know, starfish one by one and threw them back into the ocean, right? And started to you know, do it as quickly as he could. And you know, suddenly there was this man that was walking along the beach and saw the boy doing this, and he yelled at the boy, son, What in the world are you doing? And he said to him, he says, don't you know that there are thousands of starfish on this beach? And don't you know that this beach goes on for miles and miles and miles? There's no way in the world you can save all those starfish. And the little boy thought about it for a moment. Then he turned to the man. He picked up a starfish and said, yeah, I know, but I can save this one. He took the starfish and he heaved it as far as he can into the ocean. What's the point of this? Well, I'm going to tell you. Sometimes, you know, we can say, but I can't really make a difference. You know, there's so many people that I know that reject the gospel of Christ. They reject God. And some people, they get really discouraged, right? I don't know where my loved one is going to be. You know, well, I kind of know. I know where they're going to go if they don't receive Christ. And they start to kind of give up. They say, what's the sense, right? And we know it's not so much us that will help this person to realize how much they need Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that will do it. Our part is our willingness to share it. And we realize, yes, we can save and change the world one soul at a time. That's what it is. Don't think, okay, I gotta save everybody, you know? And if nobody wants to listen, forget it. No, no, just one. One at a time. And tell yourself, I'm gonna pray for this person. I'm gonna see to it that I will pray for this person, that this person will come to know Jesus. And just one person at a time, you know? And so you will not get discouraged, because God is the one that will change that person's heart. I want you to read with me what it says here in Colossians chapter 1, verse 6. I want you to read it with me. Ready? Go. This same good news that came to you is going out all over the world, Paul is saying, right? It is what? Bearing fruit everywhere by what? Changing lives, just as it has changed your lives from the day you first heard and understood the truth about God's wonderful grace. Let me ask you something. Did the Word of God change your life? Was there a point in your life where you kind of thought, I don't need this? I know I was there. You know, my brother Walton would talk to me about the gospel. Walton, that works for you. I'm happy the way I am. I'm partying it up in college, man. My parents are not here, right? But you know, he said, Ben, I got to tell you, God, he's real. I know who he is. And I want you to know who he is also. And that touched my heart, you know, because he could have given up on me, but he never did. And I praise God for that. Because once you come to know Jesus, it tells us the Word of God changes your life. And it's bearing fruit. That means, yeah, people are making the decision for Christ. Don't get discouraged. Because, yes, we can change the world with the Word of God. But we got to be willing to continue. You got to be persistent in telling the good news about who Jesus Christ is in your life. I want you to take a look at the bottom line verse now. I want you to read that with me in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27. Read it with me. Ready? Go. Instead, God chose things the world considers foolish in order to shame those who think they are wise. And he chose things that are what? Powerless to shame those who are powerful. I want you to understand something here, because it says God chose things the world considers foolish. Because sometimes you think, oh, God chooses the foolish person. So what? Does it mean I'm foolish? What does it say there? I like this translation, because it says God chose things the world considers to be foolish. So the world look upon you and say, yeah, you're foolish. Why are you talking about this? This doesn't make sense. This is crazy, right? It's not because we're foolish. The world sees us as being foolish. But guess what? God chose us. That the world thinks us as being foolish because they don't understand, they don't know our Savior Jesus Christ as we do. So of course they're going to look upon us as being foolish, but God's chosen you. And he says God chose things that are what? Powerless. And, you know, not to say we're totally without power, but you know what? It also has to do with humility. Saying, you know what? I am nothing with Christ. But with Christ, I can do all things. That's what it is. That you have power that is from God. And it is inside of you because you put your faith in Christ. Amen? As we go throughout the world letting people know about this, guess what? A lot of people, I'm going to tell you, they're going to come to know Christ. And you should be praying for them and believe that they too will come to know Christ. Don't ever say, no, this person is so evil. No way, right? Because sometimes, I'll be honest, there are times I've done that. You don't know this guy. This guy is like the devil, right? And I'll be honest, I've said those things. And sometimes the Lord, I know the Holy Spirit corrects me. And I got to say, Lord, help me to change my thinking. Because, yeah, no one can be the devil. Because the devil, he's evil as evil can get. As human beings, no, you can't get to that point of total evilness like Satan. Because guess what? As a human being, our hearts still have that capability of changing, right? All it takes is a little bit. Even it's faith as small as a little mustard seed. If this person is willing just to open their heart even so little, God can use that. Amen? God can come in and show to this person who his son Jesus Christ is. So you know what? We got to go through the world and believe. No one is excluded. Amen? That we're going to say, Lord, speak through me. Lord, show me how to change the world. I want to conclude by showing you this clip. And once again, I know it's with Cody Lee. I just tell you, I love this kid, you know. I'm just like, because I still watch his video. I watch it over and over, and there were many times Benson, he walked in, and he sees me crying. You know, you ever listen to, go on YouTube and watch some of the videos where he sings these songs. And I kind of had to ask myself, why am I reacting like this? Why am I responding? It's not because, you know, he has this disability. It's a gift that God has given to him. His voice, the way he sings it, is so touching. It touches your heart and soul. But you know what? This is not a performance, you know, from the AGT, from America's Got Talent. No, this is a song that he sang in his church. And a lot of people don't know that he's actually a Christian, and his parents are strong Christians. And he sings this song called I Can Only Imagine. It's very touching. It's not like the performance like what you see in AGT, but I got to tell you, you can tell it's from his heart. Benson, could you go ahead and play that, please? What is that?
I can only imagine what it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine. Yeah. I can only imagine. Surrounded by your glory.
Brothers and sisters, are you ready to change the world? With God's power in you, oh yeah, you can. You got to be willing, though. You got to say, Lord, whatever you ask, I'm going to do it. And if you're willing, God's going to use you mightily and powerfully. And you're going to see so many of your loved ones, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors turning to Christ. Because you're just willing to open your mouth and speak forth what is truth. Think of it like that. And God knows your willingness. He will use that. He will show to you that it is my power that will show to the world that I am real, that my love for them is for them. And all we got to do is say, yes, Lord, I am willing. Amen. Praise God. I want to go ahead. Let's bow our heads. Let's bow our hearts. Let's come before our Father in heaven. Let's pray. Father God, we just want to thank you, Lord, for the message spoken today. And Father God, yeah, that is our heart's desire, because the world may see us as turning the world upside down, but we know we're turning it right side up for you, Father, because with your word, yeah, it can bring great peace. It can bring great joy. It can bring great love as we show to the world that you truly are real. And right now, with all our heads bowed, with our eyes closed, you may be saying, you know, Pastor Ben, I kind of realized as I heard the message today that yes, it is in my heart that I want to see things get better in the world. But to be honest, maybe I didn't see myself as one that could change the world. But now I know, with the power of God inside of me, oh, it's more than possible. I just got to be willing to do what the Holy Spirit asks of me. And if this is your heart, you're saying, yes, that is me. It may not have been there. I may not have had this kind of heart before, but this is my heart now. Lord, I'm willing, and I'm willing to do whatever you ask so that truly the world can change. One soul at a time. If this is the cry of your heart, can you just raise your hand and say, that's me, so I can pray for you? Praise God. Anyone else saying, that is my heart. More than anything, Lord, I'm willing. Praise God. Praise God. All right. You can put your hands down. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Let's pray. Father God, you've seen all the hands that were raised from my brothers and sisters. I know, Lord, if they are sincere about this, Father, I know you're going to start doing something. You're going to give them opportunities when they stepped out that door. Father, I pray, Lord, they're going to say, I meant what I said, and I'm going to do it. And they're going to see the fruit. They're going to see your power being displayed as they are just willing to do it. Father, I pray you will give them boldness. You'll give them courage to do it. And I know, Father, your goodness will come. Your power will be displayed. And truly, the whole world will see that truly Jesus Christ lives. Father, we love you and we praise you and we thank you, Lord, for your word. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, we pray all these things. And all my brothers and sisters say, amen. Amen.